Hey Mama, I'm your host, Brooke Jefferson. I'm a wife, mama to two, and business coach for moms with businesses. I'm on a mission to help you go from the best kept secret to a reputable brand that results in a profitable business. And the best part, you don't have to sell your soul to social media to achieve it. My very first business was a photography business that I started back in 2014, and by 2018, it became my full-time career, and I was able to leave the classroom. Along the way, I've built and scaled multiple six-figure businesses. I started this podcast as a way to encourage, equip, and inspire you on your entrepreneurial journey. If you're ready to find a community that supports you, implement strategies in your business that work, and uncover that confidence within you, this podcast is for you. Grab your kids some snacks and pop those earbuds in. It's time to grow and scale your business. Welcome, Helen, to the show. I'm so excited to interview you today and let my listeners get to know how incredible you are. So let's kick it off by telling them who you are and what you do.
Oh, thank you so much, Brooke. I'm so excited to be here. I'm honored. And thank you, everyone, for listening. So, yes, my name's Helen. And as you can probably tell from my accent, I'm based over in the UK. So I am a sales coach. And what I do is I help people to stand out online. So that's how we help you sell, by creating really, really powerful messaging. It's the power and the magic of language to attract your clients, to nurture those clients, and then obviously create demand for what you are selling and sell. So breaking through the noise of social media is what I help people do.
And everyone here listening is like, yes, there's not enough information out there on how to get over the noise of social media. So you are truly incredible. And I can't wait to dive into your expertise a little bit later in this conversation, but we got to go backwards. When you were growing up, whether you were a child or whether you were school age, what did you want to be when you grew up? And what kind of vision did you have for your life?
It's so funny you ask that. I've literally just finished creating a B-roll reel for my Instagram, which is going to go out as soon as we finish this. I'll be posting it with some fun facts. And the first thing, I think you must have been psychic or something. The first thing is, when I was a little girl, I was sure that I was going to actually be an Oscar-winning actress. So random. Like, I was obsessed with the movie The Sound of Music. That is how old I am. And I must have seen it like about 1,000 times. And yeah, I was like, get me on the stage. I want to perform. And it's funny because, yeah, that is really all I wanted to do. And obviously, I didn't do anything close to that. My dream faded away as a teenager. And then I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do when I grew up until I got to about my 40s. So not that many years ago when I finally discovered like where I was supposed to be. So yeah, it's been a journey.
That's so interesting to hear. Ironically, I also wanted to grow up and be an actress. I always joke about this. So I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas. Not many people know that. And theater is really, really big there. And my mom would send me in the summer to theater camps, and then they would teach theater classes. And actually, a girl that I was very close to in junior high is a famous actress. So at least one of us made it out
amazing.
There. Yeah. So I think that's just so incredible to hear. And it really does kind of fit our ambitious personality. And when you think about that, like, I wasn't surprised by your answer. So I love that. So I'm assuming that you didn't just sit around for 20 years doing nothing. So tell us, what did you do to make money in the earlier years?
Okay. Yeah. So many things. So I followed the traditional path. And yes, it was like, go to university, college, get a really good degree. I went to a great school here in the UK. And then I was like, right, I need a traditional job. And my parents were very like, you need to do this, get married, settle down, have kids, da 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 da, all the boring kind of stuff. And so I did. And I left university and I was like, I don't know what to do. And I went and got a job as an accountant for PricewaterhouseCoopers because that was a sensible, smart thing to do. And I thought, great. And do you know what? The common thread as well, Brooke, is that I thought that was going to make me a lot of money. And there's always been this passion and drive to make money. And I'm not afraid to say that. And honestly, I was the worst accountant on the planet. I was terrible. And pretty much the minute I started, I was like, I need to get out of here. Just get my exams done. And then I'm going. And I went into recruitment. So I actually went sideways. It made sense. Very much a people person. And again, here's where the sales journey starts. So 21 years ago, I moved into recruitment for accountants. And after a short time working for somebody else, I decided that I could do this on my own. So I left, took my clients with me, and I went and set up my very first business. So this was my first kind of entry into entrepreneurial life. And I set up my first, Helen Thacker and Associates, a financial recruitment company, and did that for a few years until I had my boys. And then I had a bit of a career break. And then I moved into something completely different. So everything has always been around the circumstances of my family and my life at the time. And because we're both ambitious and you're probably the same, like you still want to work, you still want to contribute, you still want to have a purpose beyond just being a mom, I chose to start a wedding cake design business. And I did that from home. Oh my goodness, that was such hard work. That was like constantly covered in powdered sugar. And I loved it. It was really, really creative. But it was hard work and I never saw my kids. So I never saw my two boys. And I was always like out delivering cakes or wedding fairs and things. And so there was like, right, this is not answering the two things that I need my life to do, which is have a life outside of work with my kids and my husband and also make a lot of money. And so I decided that on top of that, I would add in a second career and I started a network marketing business as well. So we're going about 4 years ago now. So I'm bringing you up to the present. It's not going to go on forever. Don't worry. And then I start this network marketing business again. Seeing the dollar signs, I was like, right, this is where I'm going to kind of achieve this life. And I built that really, really quickly. Took that. So this is the second business that I took to six figures, the first being my recruitment company. And I was in that for 4 years. And again, it taught me so much. And it became very apparent that I love to teach and coach. And I was the first person to put my hand up and volunteer to train the team, train the nation. Let's go. And I loved building businesses online. So this started just before the lockdown and the pandemic. And so everything went online. And so I really had to help my own business and my team, you know, big team across the world to grow their business online. And this is what I did. And this is where my skills kind of arrived. We come to today. So building online businesses is what I absolutely love to do. Love social media. And again, obviously selling is a huge part of that. So yeah, that's been my journey and not winning an Oscar anywhere amongst that. But hey, I'm here and it was where I was supposed to be. I firmly believe that, but it's taken a while.
I wish we had Oscars for businesses, especially moms in business, because oh my goodness, you would have so many achievements and so many different trophies and all the things. What I love, and I bring this up in so many interviews because it's so true. I don't think anyone's business journey is ever just linear. It's not one straight line. Nobody yet anyway has been like, since I was 5 years old, I knew I was going to be a business owner. You know, nobody has said that
not
yet.
A business. No, you're right.
Yes. Yes. So I love though that it's just like this windy path, this roller coaster of a journey. But each step of the way, even though it feels chaotic, as you tell your story, I can see how it's been weaved together, how everything fits perfectly. So I want to go back to your days in recruitment. What were some of the skills that you learned or talents that you possessed that really helped you with each stage, each business, even up to today? What are some of those skills?
Yeah. That's a great question. So the first thing was just this sheer naivety about just diving into starting a business without knowing a thing about it. I literally kind of had this very quick period of training, about a year with the company that I was with. And I thought, I can just do this on my own. I'll just, you know, pick up my desk, you know, my client desk, as in my work and my, you know, files and things, and literally go and do it from home. I didn't know about websites. I didn't know about like having to create an online presence. We didn't really have an online presence back then. So it really taught me, like, that was the first time that I dived into something completely blindly. And I literally decided within a week I was leaving. It was a case of, you know, chatting with my husband, should I go for, I think I really can do it. Yeah. And I'll like a few days later, I'd handed my notice in. I was out of there and I just went for it. And so I think that was the biggest lesson. And I've continued to do that every single time I've made a big pivot or transition. I've been completely fearless, good or bad. But I personally, I think it's served me really, really well, because I've just kind of accepted I'm going to have to learn as I go. And I've just got to get started, because getting started is the first thing you need to do if you want to have a successful business. So that was the first thing. But I think that really taught me about being a solo business owner. There was just me, you know, no help, no support. I didn't have a team. I didn't have like an assistant or anything like that. And that was a huge learning curve. The decision-making that you have to make, you know what it's like, you know, suddenly everything is on your shoulders, right decisions, wrong decisions. And that's scary. And that definitely kind of built up that resilience in that way, definitely. But also the customer service, and I've always said this about everything that I've done, has been very, very client focused. I love my clients. I pour into my clients because I know how important that is. And even back then, listening to what they were saying was so key to my success. You know, it was like listening to what they were saying, learning the sales skills around that, and how, you know, selling is about listening to what other people want, what they need, and then solving that problem by providing the solution, and how you message that and package that up. Look how it's all coming together now with what I do now. And yeah, that was the first time that I kind of learned all of those skills as well. And that's definitely carried through in every other business that I've had. Yeah.
I love it. I really admire your courage or your fearlessness. Would you say that you have been that way your whole life? Or was there something that was really encouraging you to go out of your comfort zone and try something on your own?
I think that was the first time I'd had the courage to do that. Actually, one of my friends from university, she said to me at the time, "You are the last person I thought would set up their own business." I was like, thanks. Thank you for saying that, Brooke. I appreciate it. I think I've always done things without thinking it through properly. Like even as a child, probably kind of just did things without thinking. But, you know, I was the kid that was climbing up the trees, and, you know, I was always kind of a bit more ambitious or daring than most girls. And I think that's probably something, but it did take me a little bit by surprise, I'll be honest, that I just made the decision so quickly. But I guess once I'd done it, I'd proven to myself that I could. And then, yeah, that's what happened forevermore. So
it worked out. And so I love probably the child opposite of you that would have been like, you need to be careful. Helen, stop climbing that tree. You're going to break
it. Well, I'm like that with my boys now. Like they don't do anything. Like wrap them up, you know.
That is too funny. That was too funny. So I also love just like you're multifaceted, and I have an episode on this as well. Women really are multifaceted. We have multiple things that we're interested in, multiple skills, multiple hats. And yeah, so yeah. I love that you talked about so many different things and business pivots. Out of curiosity, how did you get into decorating cakes?
So it was such a random thing. I've always loved baking. Like it was just one of those hobbies. And I thought, you know, I want to make some money. What can I do? And me and my husband sat around the kitchen table when my boys were little. Like, what can I do? And he was like, just buy widgets and sell them. Just anything. You don't have to do anything. If you want to make some money, just start a business of some sort. And I was like, I don't know what. I have no clue. What am I good at? What do I like? And then one of the moms at school who had a cafe, she said to me, I know you like baking cakes, because I was always taking cakes into the bake sales at school. And she said, I'm looking for somebody else to replace my current supplier. Would you like to try? And I was like, what are you putting your trust in me? You've never tried. And that's where it started. So I soon pivoted again, looking for the most profitable way to make this business work. And I actually moved very quickly from just cafe cakes and, you know, like devil's food cakes and things like that and cookies and stuff to wedding cakes, because that was obviously a higher price point, and I was very intentional about the move that I made with my business there. And yeah, I absolutely loved it, but I knew nothing, absolutely nothing. And I talk about this a lot, quite often, because I couldn't ice a cake. I couldn't do anything very creative. I could make a really, really delicious cake. Like my cakes are good, but I had to go and learn the skills. I had zero skills. And so just as you and I, you know, we tell our future clients all the time, you need to invest in a coach. You need to invest in learning. And I spent a lot of money learning the skills so that I could be the best wedding cake designer that I could be. And they're very artistic. You scroll right down my feed, you know, they were different. And I learned that because I was very, very intentional about investing in that skill so that I could be successful. It's the same with every business. You have to invest if you want to have success. And now, funnily enough, Brooke, I hate cake. My boys hate cake. I haven't baked a cake for 3.5 years. No one in our house ever wants to see another cake again. So at least I'm, you know, it's healthier now around here, but so funny.
So, well, knowing that, you might shut down my idea, but, you know, we're going to be in Arizona.
And I thought,
how fun would it be to have like a little cake decorating competition with all of us who can't make them?
I'll just say I can judge. I'll sit and watch.
There you go. You could be the judge. But anyway, that is so cool. So two things really quickly. You talked about obviously the skill of learning how to invest in yourself and how that has carried over into what you do today. And honestly, even giving room and space for your clients to do the same thing in you as their sales coach and their, you know, content coach as well. So the other thing is, you were talking about how you were in this place of, you knew you wanted to start a business, you couldn't figure out what to do, and an opportunity presented itself. And that was the most beautiful part of you saying that. And here's the thing, I really want to encourage the moms listening to always be open and looking and waiting on opportunities. Yes, I believe you need to take action. Yes, I think that you need to have a plan. But I think you also need to be open to this beautiful opportunity that is going to be presented to you, because they are happening every day. Opportunity is around you every single day. And so I thought that was such a cool part of that pivot and story.
Thank you.
Okay. So I want to speed us up to the present, and I want to dive into what you do today. So today in your business, and I know you talked a little bit about this, but you've been taking us through your whole journey. So what do you do day in and day out to serve your clients? And then we'll dive into a little bit of that expertise.
Yeah. So what I do is I help them to sell more. And the key point I believe in sales is the messaging. Most of the time when people come to me and they say, I have a great offer, you know, I have a really confident mindset, my strategy's all in place, but I'm not selling, something is not happening. And 99% of the time, it's a messaging problem. They're posting, and when I say messaging, I don't necessarily mean all on social media. It could be what they're saying in emails. It could be just the way they're presenting themselves on a tutorial. It could be in a Facebook group, a live, whatever they're doing, but social media as well. And they're usually not communicating things in a way that works. Now, another common thread is that I've always loved language. Ever since I was really small, I was good at English at school. And I love diving into the nuances of what a word or a phrase can do, how it can completely transform the way that you get across what you do and the power that you have. And I often, like I was working with one of my clients yesterday, we were playing around with phrases and we were just, it was magical. It really excites me. And we're just trying to communicate from her head what she wants to say out to her clients in a way that is uniquely her. Because we all have a unique spin on the way we do things, the way we approach things, our personality, what we feel is important. And it's about really kind of getting that across in your language. But what I really, really want to stress is that your marketing and your messaging, wherever that is the key thing. Because no matter how good your offer is, like I said, if you can't communicate, you're not going to sell. You're not going to put money in your bank account. And so every single post that you make is this opportunity for you to market what you do best. And we really do have to stand out. There are 60 million posts every single day on social media. And so much of it is so the same. It's so boring. Like, yeah, we've seen, you know, we know what to do. In our kind of industry, in our niche, we're told the same things. And there are some very, very clever things that you can do, which is obviously what I do with my clients, to help you to get noticed and for people to go, oh, hang on a minute. Brooke's telling me this. Okay, I've not heard it that way before. Or I haven't thought about that before. Okay, I need to follow Brooke. She's incredible. I can see she's got something you know, of real value, and she's a real authority in what she's teaching. And yeah, I'm going to follow her, and the authority is going to grow. And yeah, when she has something to sell, I'm all in, because she knows exactly what I'm going through. There is a three-step process to it that I take my clients through, which I can, you know, I can share that if you like, but it's so vital to get this right, because it really, it not upsets me, it's probably too strong a word, but it's such a shame when, you know, you have great coaches who have great products, who can make a great impact in the world, and they're just stuck. They get stuck getting it out there because there's that barrier. And I'm like that bridge between my clients and the rest of the world through their content. Yeah.
I know every single person listening right now is up against that battle of, I want to stand out, but how, right? How do I do this? Or they get tripped up in marketing, or they're only focused on social media and it just gets tiresome and boring, and they're tired of saying the same thing over and over. What is the biggest mistake you see not only your clients, but just business owners in general make when it comes to their messaging or their content?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I'm going to mention two because I think this is really important. One is being very, very, very specific. So specific in the topic that you talk about, specific in the problem that you are solving. And this is one of the things that I work through with my coaching clients when I'm helping to build a business, getting them specific in their head and having such clarity about where they're going with their business. You need to have that piece in place so that your future clients know exactly what they're going to get from you. And also you're speaking to them in a very specific way where they recognize that you have that problem that you can help them with. But the other thing, which is the biggest thing, is people not actually explaining to their future clients that there is a problem or an improvement in their life that you have the answer for. So people will scroll past thinking, well, I don't need Brooke, or I don't need Helen, because I'm fine. Things are great. Everything's working. And until you actually highlight to your audience and your followers, actually, there is a better way to do things that is going to get you the results that you want. And I know what you're doing right now. I know you're stuck. I can see it. And you're trying these things and it's not working. But I'm going to show you and prove to you and explain to you that there is a different way. And here is how. And that elevates you to become the go-to in your space. And people will start to think, yes, actually, I do need that. I do need Brooke. So I am going to therefore engage with your content. And that is the biggest missing piece. You know, people do not do that enough. And we have a lot of how-to content all the time. And you do need to do that to educate your audience. But how-to content, if they don't think they need it, they're just going to scroll past. Yeah.
Goodness, this is so good. And the first time I heard you teach this, and of course you're not the only person that teaches this, but you taught it in such a unique way, right? How to stand out. You caught my attention. And that was definitely like these two things, guys, if you walk away from this podcast and this is what you implement, you will change your messaging and you will see an increase in sales in your business. But the number one mistake that you were talking about was being too generalized, right? If I scroll across your content and it could, you know, be truth for multiple people, and it's not really specific to who you want to work with, then you're not really standing out, you're blending in. So I love that you brought that up. And then the second thing, the mistake that you talked about was, we spend too much time presenting solutions to people that have no idea that they need it. And this was the biggest transformation I made in my own business. And we need to be like, almost rubbing the wound and showing people and being specific with what symptoms they're experiencing for their pain point. So I know that I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here, and feel free to look up whatever you need to, but could you give a really good example to someone on, you know, maybe a generic piece of content versus a more specific piece of content?
Yeah, sure. I always use like the fitness industry as a good example, because there are a lot of myths and you know, the fitness industry and the diet industry is something that, you know, a lot of people are trying to get into. People want to stay healthy. So like a generic piece of content would be something like, so if you want to lose weight, here are three steps or three daily habits to help you lose 10 pounds. So three daily habits to help you lose 10 pounds. And then you'd maybe scroll into a carousel and it would say, you know, step one, drink lots of water. Step two, make sure you get your steps in. Step three, do some regular exercise or whatever. Okay, so we've heard that all before. I mean, I know I'm getting very, very basic, but you still see that all the time. And people post this thinking, okay, I'm being helpful, three steps. I'm going to give people a plan. Whereas if you were actually going to highlight a problem, it would be something like, I know you want to lose those last 10 pounds. And you are doing cardio five times a week, but nothing's shift. And yeah, you're doing cardio like five times a week and are down to a 1500 a day calorie intake, but nothing's shifting. Here's why. And then you would bust this myth in the, you know, that's quite common, that cardio is not really the way, the best way to actually lose weight. It's strength training for various different reasons. And so you would start to discuss the reasons why. Like, why is it that strength training is the answer? And what are you doing right now? Why that's not working? And then you give the strength training as the answer. So you're kind of flipping it around. You're actually pointing out something that people are doing wrong. And then you're going to explain to them, like you said, the symptoms of what's going on in their life, why they are continuing to kind of think that that's the answer. And then you're going to give them the real solution that's going to work. And that would really help someone to go, oh my goodness, like, wow, I didn't know that. Like, I thought cardio was the answer. I'm supposed to be on my Peloton like 7 days a week, aren't I? I'm still not shifting the baby weight. What's going on? Here's the answer. So yeah, that's a kind of very off the cuff example. But if you go to my Instagram, I mean, there's plenty of, like, you can see this in action, you know, the actual process of putting those posts together. And of course, I've got that lead magnet, which I know you're going to ask me about anyway, which is a free, you know, the guide and everything to help people. If anyone wants to have like a free tutorial walking through that, that's all there. And it's spelled out there in a lot more detail.
Okay, I love that you use the fitness example because it is super relatable for everyone. You always hear, drink the water, get the 10K steps. Like, it's just so basic. What I love, and even fitness accounts that I follow or nutrition accounts that I follow, are the ones that are putting their opinions or that are busting the common myths that everybody else is doing. And then one of the things I thought was really cool when you were explaining, you know, the different, how to make your content more specific, is you want your ideal person to say something like, that's me. Oh my gosh, she's in my head. Me too. Yeah. And if they can't say that because it's too generic or because you're just scratching the surface and you're not getting specific enough, then your content is going to fall flat every single time. So I love that. I thought you did such a great example, and you guys have to check out her free lead magnet. It's incredible. And it will really give you some aha moments of how to really jazz up your own content. So
you really picked up on that. You, like, literally, you're such a great student, Brooke. Like, you're like, yeah, I get it. I love it.
yes, I love it. I mean, your training really, really helps me figure out, okay, I give way too much how-to content when in reality, you know, as a coach, I want to point something out that you as a mom in business are doing that is actually either costing you, you know, more of your time, more of your money, and a mistake that's not going to result in sales. And so, such great. I just love it. I love it. You are transforming people's messaging all over the place, which is incredible. Okay. So where can people binge all this content we've talked about? How can they get their hands on your freebie?
So yeah, just head over to my Instagram. Thank you, Brooke. And I would just love to say to your listeners, just slide into my DMs, tell me that you've listened to this podcast. And honestly, I'd be happy to just send you a quick kind of couple of tips about your own personal content. So just let me know that you've listened to this podcast. I'm so happy to do that. And yeah, the free guide, which will be really all about how to stand out and sell more, will be in my link in the bio on my Instagram. So yeah, just go and find me there, but appreciate that. Thank you, Brooke.
And then what is your handle for those that just want to listen and go right now and grab it?
Yeah, it's just my name, Helen Thacker, HelenThacker. Straightforward.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your incredible story to how you got to where you are today, the lessons you learned along the way, and then, of course, your incredible practical advice for how we can improve our messaging to result in more clients and sales.
Thank you so much, Brooke. Thank you, everyone. That was so much fun.